We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. I'm Monica Lovell. It's okay. Miss Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Jason Mong. How are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm good. How about you guys, ladies?
We're blessed and highly flavored with his favor.
There you go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it in the comments or on our page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. If you would like to remodel or even build a new home, I want to encourage you to reach out to Spain's Construction. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in this morning. I think I covered it all. Did I cover it all, Miss Tina? Okay, we're good to go then. I'm so glad you're here. Jason, would you please pray to start us out this morning?
You bet. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that you woke us up for another day. God, we just thank you that we can function, move, and have our being in you today, God. Father, I just thank you this morning for your word. I thank you that you're going to bring forth your words through your Holy Spirit today in this message, God. I just thank you that this would fall on the hearts of good soil, Father, that it would take root, and Father, that those roots would grow down deep inside of you, God, and that we'd be established firmly in who we are in you. Father, we just thank you for all these things and all that you've done through your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. It is finished.
It is finished. We're actually going to do a continuation of our conversation last week. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to the realization of Scripture in our freedom in Christ. And one of the things, I'm probably not going to use the words "it is finished" very often, except for right now. I'm not good at titling messages. I just preach them. But I think about that moment on the cross when Christ said, "It is finished." And what that was a significance for us to know that everything that he had came to this earth for, he had accomplished. He had accomplished everything that God the Father had sent him to this earth to fulfill in his life. And at that final breath, what he was saying was, "Everything that you have sent me for, I have completed. It's over and it's done with." And we see in Scripture that at that point, he gives his spirit up, right? And the death of his flesh and body comes in that place. But we're not going to hang out there. I want to talk about that for a minute to realize. So we're actually going to go into Hebrews 9 this morning. And last week, if you didn't catch last week's podcast, we were talking about the finished work of Christ. And I believe the title last week on that is "Stop Making Sin Matter." And with that in mind, I just kind of had looked at this in my own life and my walk in Christianity, how even after years of walking with Christ and knowing Christ, there was still this weight that I carried, this load that I bore, in my, I guess in my thoughts and my consciousness, right? Always being aware of sin in my life, or always being aware of trying to avoid it in my life. And what I realized in that place is that sin kept me conscious of itself so often that it kept me from pursuing Christ in the manner that I see according to the word, in freedom, right? And there's one thing, there's a scripture that I think we don't even grasp the profoundness of it. It says that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. It is literally for the freedom. And if we're not careful, we get so stuck in this place of, after we become a Christian, sin still has a consciousness in our minds, in our thoughts, and it's constantly has our attention, where we're always worrying about what we don't need to do instead of just pursuing God and doing the things that we do need to do. We see instruction all through the Word of these are the things that you are to do. And you know, I think about this, especially as I read through the New Testament. If I were to take a marker board, right, and divide a line and write all the things that the Bible tells me to do on one side and all the things it tells me not to do on the other, the not is not very long, because it doesn't put the focus on, hey, stay away from this, hey, don't do that. It always talks about the things that we are supposed to do. And it's like, if we see that according to Scripture, why in humanity, why in the organization of church have we structured a system that constantly brings sin to the forefront, constantly brings sin to our mind, to our consciousness, and think that that's going to drive us in a positive way, right? Because if you're always talking about something, what's going to be at the forefront of your mind? What you're talking about, right? And I see according to Scripture, how many places do I see, think on these things that are pure, honest, good, lovely, of good report, all of those things. He instructs us how to pursue God in a manner that keeps us focused on the Father in our life, as opposed to constantly keeping our heads turning, looking at the places where we're missing or we're failing, or letting our conscience override, or the spirit of condemnation to come on us in a way that it just keeps us beat down. And, you know, I think about this oftentimes, and again, even in my own life, looking retrospectively, how many times people would say, how are you doing? And it wasn't just one of those, you know, when I see you in Walmart, how are you doing moments. It was just like, how are you really doing? And over time and time and time again, the first thing that would come to my mind when somebody says, how are you doing? Where's my failures? That's the first thing you think of. How are you doing? Well, I've been trying on this one, man. You know, like, it's always the shortcomings. It's always the failures. And the reason why I see that is because in this organization that we have grown up in the ceremony and traditional way of church, the way that it's been set up, it's because that's the way it's brought to us. That's the way it's taught. It was always taught of, be conscious of your sin. Pay attention so you're not walking off into it. This, that, and the other. Instead of just saying, you know what? Pursue God with 100% of everything that you are. Put your heart on Him. When you wake up and you put your feet on the bed in the morning, in that moment, think, be in a place of thanksgiving and pursuit of God from that moment through the rest of this day, instead of waking up thinking, oh gosh, here's the struggle once again. You know, it's like, that's not positioning my mind from a place of good thoughts and a good place. And this is not getting off into weird psychology and all of that and saying, you know, this whole manifestation or name it, claim it, none of that business. But it is, there's a truth of God's word that He has established, that He has given to us, and it's a foundation for us to stand on in our Christian walk. And from that place of a firm foundation, we can walk this thing in a way that brings freedom to our life. And again, for me, the most prominent thing is it's always about sin. It was about sin when Jesus showed up, but that's why Jesus made it all about sin. Why? So He could crush it. So He could kill it. So at the end of His life, He could say, what I have come here to do is accomplished, and it is finished. So now, freedom. Freedom for those of you that come after me. Freedom for you to walk in the things that I have purchased for you. And as we see, the New Testament being our guide in that place of pursuit of God without a violated conscience, without a constant paying attention to the places of lack, the places where we fail or falter, or flat out choose sin over Christ, right? Because all of those things are pertinent. I mean, the Bible's clear about there are sins that don't lead to death, but there are things that we need to focus on in our life in pursuit of God that will leave all of those things. It doesn't matter. What we don't need to do is break down. Now, is this a sin that leads to death, or is this just one where I'm kind of missing them? It doesn't matter. Christ paid for both of them, right? And if we get stuck in that place, all we're doing is finding ourselves in a place of violated consciousness and always looking at the places of fault or failure. And we have lost our pursuit of God. And again, it's not that you've lost relationship with God. And I know those weird things. The enemy has all kinds of tactics, you know. He's going to drop all kinds of lies in our thoughts that are not the truth. And that's why it is, and as I always encourage, so important to get into the Word of God. Because that is the truth. Everything that you read in here is the truth of the Word of God. And I've had a couple of conversations this last week, and I wanted to kind of bring this up too, because I know it's something we all deal with, is how many times have you read the Word of God, and then you think, well, this kind of contradicts what this is saying over here. Like, those two aren't quite meshing together. And I'll have a lot of people, and two of them this week alone, but this is not the first time I've ever talked about this, where people would come in and they'll say, this looks like it contradicts here. And I'll say, okay, so what we have to understand in this place is the Word of God will never contradict itself. Will your understanding? Absolutely, right? Your understanding of this scripture versus your understanding of this scripture can contradict, but the Word of God will not contradict. So in those places, don't get bent out of shape. Don't get thrown in a tailspin in that place. Just understand, okay, my understanding needs some correction here because I see this as a conflict in the Word of God. But we know it can't be that because this is the truth, right? And the truth is what sets us free. So continue pursuit and just ask the Holy Spirit in this place. I see this as a contradiction, so I need you to clarify. I need you to clarify this inside of me so that I can find my foundation of truth to stand on in this place. And don't get bent out of shape again or lose your peace if you don't get that like that, right? Because sometimes, and I see this according to the Word again, seek and you will find. Seek, think about the game of hide and seek. When you cover your eyes and you count and everybody else scatters, right? You don't just open your eyes and find everybody. You have to go seek them out. You have to pursue. You have to look for them. And it's no different with the things of God. And I think that he almost set that up on purpose, you know, in that way to say it keeps us in pursuit of him. Why? Because he's always going to give us those little nuggets. He's going to bring those answers to us. But it's only through our pursuit. We can't just sit back, kick back, and say, okay, God, give it to me all. Like, if that was the case, we might as well have just been made robots, and he could have just stuck in the chip, and we would have all been meme, 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 right? And just did all the things. But he gave us a free will to choose him. And understand, seeking is a constant choice of that. Pursuit of him, to choose him. So as I seek God in that place, then guess what? He brings the understanding, he brings the truth. Because oftentimes, and this is what I've noticed in my life, I may find two places in scripture that I, in my understanding, see that they contradict, but then I will find the third place that brings the truth to them all, you know? So that's why it's so important to just get in there and start digging. If you have something that you say it's about sin consciousness in your that. I mean, this is the topic that we're speaking on. I know this is a topic for some that's kind of a hard pill to swallow because of what we've grown up in American Christian church as sin being the focus of most of the messages, you know. And I mean, I think about my 40 years in church, that I have recollection of, like, it was always about sin, you know. I mean, there was the occasional, felt encouraged and built up after that. But most of the time it was like, sin, 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 sin. Stay away from it, you know. And it's like, there's got to be something different here. And the Holy Spirit just started to hone me in on that. And even when he started honing me in on that, I thought, this is not going to be taken easily. You know, this is not something that people are going to receive because so easily because we've been taught this. But again, what he reminded me in that moment, you speak in my words or yours. You're right. Yours. So I'm here to do your will. I'm here to say what you have me to say. But what I love about this is once I've started talking about this and showing people where to land in the Word, that this is the truth that you can stand on to know that sin doesn't have to matter anymore. Make Christ matter. It's all through the Scripture, right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to get into Scripture. Again, if you didn't catch that podcast last week that we did, go back and watch that. That will kind of be a precursor to where we're going today. I mentioned some of the places that we're going to read today, and one of the places that I mentioned was about how in the Old Testament, it was all about the sacrifice of bloods of bulls and goats, right? And so as we get into the book of Hebrews, he brings a great clarification of the old system into the new system and kind of the comparison of what. So we're going to get into the word this morning. We're going to start in Hebrews 9. I want you to get in here and like, don't go in and just read Hebrews 9 and 10 and then just like, that's it. Spend some time here. If it takes 5 verses, if it takes 10 verses, I want you to spend some time in these two chapters in the book of Hebrews. And really just, I mean, think of it like the best piece of cake or pie that you could eat. You don't just gobble it up. You just want to, right? You want to taste it. I want you to do that with the word in this place, because there's so much truth that comes from this place, right? Savor that in your mouth, savor that in your soul, in your spirit, and just let God teach you something that maybe you've never seen before. And even for me, I want to encourage, because I know there will be a group of people out there that are hearing this message. And even at the mention of sin consciousness or quit looking at sin, they automatically throw their guard up, right? Like, what is this guy saying? I mean, I've even heard people call me a heretic because of the teaching of this. But it's the truth of God's word. We just have to see that in the way that he was explaining this here and then walk in it. And I promise you, on the other side of that, you will experience the freedom that Christ paid for like you've never experienced before. And I am seeing that both in old and new Christians' life, in my connections in the body of Christ. And it has been such an encouragement to me. I've seen people that have been walking as Christians for years, but stuck in a sin consciousness and not walking in freedom. And they get this revelation, and it brings complete restoration and healing to their life. And then a pursuit of God that follows that I've never seen before. And then I've seen people who haven't known Christ, who have been stuck in the world and lost and in addiction and just the things of the world, right? And they get this truth as a baby Christian and a new Christian, and I see their life completely blossom into something that took me years to struggle through, you know? It was the journey of my salvation for me in that place. But that truth, that revelation from God, can bring someone to a truth in Him that will elevate them to a place of understanding and walking out. And to me, honestly, you know, I go back, I think there's a scripture that Paul talks about, and he mentions, I don't need to go back to the foundational teachings of Christianity. And then he names some things out. And one of the things he names in there is the raising of the dead. That's a foundational teaching in Christianity, right? And we're over here thinking, I've never seen that. Like, what in the world are you talking about? I believe it according to the word to see what Jesus did, this, that, and the other. But for me to lay hands on the dead and call them back to a life, like, that's foundational teaching? I mean, that's like algebra 2, and I'm down here in 1 plus 1, you know? But it's like, these are the foundational truths of the word of God. And if we just get a hold of them, if we accept them and receive them by what? Faith. Faith in Christ, and say, I don't understand it here, but I see it in the word of God. So I believe it is my truth, and I pursue it with everything that I am. If you will do that in your heart with whatever we're talking about, doesn't matter. If it's a truth of the word of God, pursue it in that way and put your trust and your reliance through faith on the Holy Spirit to do the work in your life, not on some grand preacher to formulate a great speech or great teaching or great sermon, whatever it is, you know. It's not about that. And that's why I've even in my own life and teaching have conditioned myself to not, I don't prepare the sermons. I just prepare my heart before God. And then in these moments I say, speak. You have my voice. I know you live in me. I see it according to your word. I also see that you're going to give me the words that I need to say when I show up. So guess what? I'm just going to show up. And it's like, people don't realize even in that place, that's a step of faith. You know, that's walking in the faith that God has given us and each and every one of us. And again, be careful, because some people listening will say, well, yeah, that's awesome. I wish I had the faith of that guy or that gal. Don't do that. Don't compare yourselves among ourselves. That's not what we're doing here, because this is just a truth of the word of God, and we can all walk in it. Each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're called into the fivefold ministry. It doesn't matter if you're called into a speaking position. It doesn't matter about that, because God will give you the words to a person that's in the next line to you at the grocery store that God just wants to speak to him and love on him a little bit, and he'll give you the words to say, you know? And you only have to be say, I'm available. I'm available for you to speak, for you to love on people. And what I found in my own life, there is no greater satisfaction and joy than to allow the Holy Spirit to work through my life for the life of another. Like, there's no better place to be, man. Like, we all understand, even in the natural, you get this euphoric feeling of when you help somebody, right? It makes you feel good when you help somebody. But in the flesh, that's only works, right? But when you're doing that in the Spirit, it's fulfilling a commandment that Jesus himself gave us. Love God with all your heart, soul, your strength, your mind, right? But what else? Love those people. And when you pursue God in that way and just allow him to move in your heart and your life and be available for him, you will be amazed at what he will do in and through your life. And it's not about a euphoric feeling of the flesh. It's about a joy and a peace that you can remain in him, in that place. And there's no better place to be. So then even when circumstance of life shows up, guess what? It's not a tidal wave that's going to overwhelm you. It's only a wave that's going to crash against the rock of which you've established yourself in Christ. So I went off on a rabbit trail there. See, that's what happens when you let that's what happens when you let the Holy Spirit speak.
Okay. I like rabbit trails.
So let's get into Hebrews 9. So we're going to talk about this. So I'm going to try to not read this whole thing because I know that'll take up a lot of time. But there's just so much to hit here. That's why I want you to go in and really dig this out. Again, savor this thing like a fine piece of cake. Let's start in, I'm going to start 9 and verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not a part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption. Everybody underline this in your Bible, forever, right? So again, I'll just kind of paraphrase with the old system. So if you don't have an understanding of the way that it was done in the Old Testament, go back to the early books, back into Leviticus and you'll see how all the ceremonies and all those things were, God gave specific design and things that they were supposed to do. He gave them the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s of walking out the things of the tabernacle, right? But what Paul is doing here is he's contrasting. This is the way that the system was, but now there's a new system. And understand the verbiage here, that was a covenant that was made, that God made with the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, again, God made a new covenant with us, and that is with everyone, right? Because the Jews, the Gentiles, all of that alike, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no Greek, there's no Jew. It's not about any of that. It's about you're my kids, and I'm here to create a covenant with every single one of you, to love on every single one of you, to give you, every single one of you, the same thing, and that is everything that comes from the Father, right? The good gifts and all those things. So in verse 13, says, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your conscience. Now notice here that he says, under the acts of the old system, it brought the body ceremonial cleansing. But then as he goes on to 14, what does he say? The blood of Christ will purify the conscience, right? That's the heart. That's the way that we're directed by. That's the thing that drives us in our life. Our conscience is a thing that drives us to the good and away from the bad in those places. Continuing in 14, so that we can worship the living God. Okay, I want you to catch that part right there. If you're focused on something that can only purify the flesh and not purify the soul and the conscience, you will never be able to freely worship God, right? Because if you're stuck in that place of sin consciousness where you're always pursuing continual forgiveness, you can't pursue God in that way because you're always coming to him in need of a forgiveness of, oops, my failure, instead of coming before God in a place of thanksgiving and thankfulness for what he has to offer. And we've talked about that even on the show in that place. If you position yourself from a place of thankfulness, there is no place for ungratefulness because one cannot exist in the place of the other. If you're thankful, you can't be ungrateful. But if you're ungrateful, guess what? You can't be thankful either. Those things, you can only act in those independently one of the other. Continuing on, for by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant, and that's what we just talked about, between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised for them. For Christ died to set them, what's the word? Free from the penalty of sins they had committed under that first covenant. So think about this. Every time that we think about the sin that's so easily besetting us, right? When we, if we find one that we're stuck in a cycle, that's something that's going over and over, it's repetitive in our life, or if it's one we just fall off into every once in a while, whatever it is in your life, it doesn't matter. Christ died to set you free from all of those, right? The patterns, the oopsies every once in a while, whatever it is, it's the same. It's all covered. And what does he say in this place? For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of that sin. What are you thinking about when you're thinking, oh, I just messed up? You're thinking about the consequence of the penalty that's going to come. Oh, gosh, I just screwed that one up. What big whammy's coming my way, right? That's the way I grew up. And as a matter of fact, it was never presented to me in any other way than that. And so the way I grew up was understanding that God was the guy in the sky with a big stick waiting for me to step off in that place so that the penalty of sin could be whacked in my head in that moment of failure. Instead of realizing, and fatherhood brought a greater understanding to this than anything. When I had my kids, dude, it showed me a love that I had never fathomed, that I had never experienced, that I didn't know could exist. It showed me a love that I recognize now in the Word of God as the love of a father. And honestly, knowing that I'm in humanity and God is the Father himself, his love even exceeds what I can experience, right? But knowing for my child, there is nothing that they could ever do. Nothing. If my child took the life of another, would I condone the act? Absolutely not. But would I love my child in the midst of it? Absolutely. I would. There's nothing my child could ever do to remove my love from them. And I'm here to say today, on behalf of God himself, he loves you the same, right? Even more so, because his capacity for love is greater than anything I could ever experience here on this earth. But knowing that he sent his son to pay a price to what? To take away that penalty. So that in my moment of failure, there is no big stick that's already cocked and waiting to smack me over the head in that moment of failure, but rather a father with open arms saying, it's okay. Just get back up and let's continue this journey, and encouraging you along the way. And even that, when I start to see scripture, what do I start to do in the natural? I start to parent different. I stop being the guy that's holding the stick over my kids too, right? I start to be the guy that when my kids fail and they fall, I just say, you know what? That's just part of the journey. Just get back up. There is a better way, yes. Let's learn from what we've missed right there, but let's continue on in pursuit of what's good and righteous and holy in the eyes of God, right? And what I again see, and I love so much, it just makes my heart explode, is I see the fruit in my kids' lives even in that way. Because it does not create a consciousness of sin that I grew up in, but it rather creates a reliance on the Father in the moments that I am failing in the flesh to rely on God to lead me out of this. And I see my kids walking that out. And I can tell you there's no greater joy in this world to see my kids getting that with all their heart and walking. And not just my kids, the people that are in my surroundings, in my groups, that come and sit and hear what God has to say through my voice. I see the fruits of their life, and I'm telling you, when I see that scripture that says that we were the joy set before the Father, and I think, I see that in my heart. When I see people living successfully this Christian life, walking in the freedom of Christ, it drives me. It keeps me going. It keeps me sitting in the places of uncomfortability and saying the things that need to be said, whether I like it or not, right? Because it's bringing truth and freedom to people's lives, and I see the fruit. And just like the word says, a bad tree can't bear good fruit. But when I see good fruit, guess what? That's the proof in the pudding. You can't argue that, you know? And that's why I say, you don't need to defend God. He'll take care of it himself. Just present the truth, and your life itself will present the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings from it. And people can't argue with that, because it comes from him, not you. doesn't come from humanity. It comes from God himself. We're going to take a break.
This might be a good time for you.
Yeah, that'd be good. Before we change gears.